Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times a Podcast. It is Thursday the 9th of September, as we recall. Not been on here since the defeat at Ibrox, but a few weeks have passed since then. Celtic are getting back to domestic action this weekend when they take on Ross County at home. Transfer window has now closed, and we're just going to jump right in it. So, Danny, we'll come here chronologically. I know we've done a live Twitter space that was very well received, but since Ibrox, we've signed Jota, the Greek Giakoumak, and we made a late swoop for Cameron Carter-Vickers. How would you assess Celtic's deadline day business, and how do you see the transfer window as a whole for Celtic?
Transfer window as a whole, we'd probably pretty positive considering the state of the club when we went into the season to where we are now. I mean, we've still to see those three players that you mentioned at the end to actually play, but I would say the squad's the first 11, I would say, is in a more healthy position than it was last year. I think you've got players that are more focused. We've got a goalkeeper for a start. You've got Kyogo, who's been unbelievable since he signed. Juranovic looks like a really good player. Seen a bit of him for Croatia. I think he's very good. So on the face it looks good, but the squad wise I still think we're a wee bit short, and even getting when we went half the space it was pretty negative, and then like 2 minutes later they'd announced that they were trying to work on the Cameron Vickers signing, getting that done. I think it's a good window all in all, but I think the squad are still a wee bit short. But the rebuild was never going to be done over one window. I think we all knew that. I think the defeat at Ibrox heightened the tension a wee bit that right, we need to react and go and get players. Well, we kind of done that. We've replaced. I still thought we needed at least three or four after the defeat to Rangers. Christie and Edward going out meant, does that mean we need five or six maybe? You know, but the boy Jota looks like he can play a few positions as well. So I don't know. We're still short, but I think the squad that started the first game of the season at home to each other to now, and it's only what, about 8 weeks, it's night and day. But they need to be as proactive in future windows as well, because as you know, we've said we're not by far anywhere near finished yet.
Yep, definitely. Andy, as Danny mentioned, it wasn't just a few coming in. We had big departures in the shape of Ryan Christie and Odson Edward. I think a lot of people had sort of hoped that maybe only one of them would have been sold. In the end, Ryan Christie signed for Bournemouth and Odson Edward signed for Crystal Palace. What did you make of Celtic's final few days in the transfer window?
I think for long enough. I mean, the Edward deal's been talked about for God knows how long, and obviously there was a lot hanging on Christie with the contract situation. I think deep down we all knew that there was a possibility of that happening where they both went out, and we just hoped that we would react to it. I mean, we had signings ready to go. As Danny said, I was in a similar boat. I thought we needed three or four before they left. I mean, that number only increases when they eventually do go. It never was going to be we'll go and sign 20 players in the summer window and be fucking brilliant again. Like, I just know how the game works. It's just no football. In terms of Christie, probably, all I know, getting money for him when he had a lot of chat about how long he had for his contract, and it was obviously a short contract, and fuck knows who approved that, but listen, we get money for him, he obviously didn't want to be here. Good luck, we move on, and Eddie was always going to win a Premier League Cup, eventually stuff to put the money with him if it was, and stumped up the money for him. I think that was always a possibility as well, and his head's not been in it for long enough. I know he was a top goal scorer last season, but let's be honest, he fucking doubled that tally if he had the interest. Guaranteed didn't help with the shite run about him. But if you look at the incomings, I mean, the big striker, you look at his last season, it's a tremendous record in a difficult league. You think good signing, obviously, you're a bad as you're put of ashes have been brilliant. Juranovic, I'm similar to Danny. I thought he was for when he was played at a position at left back against Rangers, and then the two or three games he's played for Croatia since, really, really done well for them. I think we've got ourselves a cracking player there. Carter Vickers is a guy I know maybe because I paid a lot of attention last season to Bournemouth for betting purposes, as Danny well knows. So I think that's a solid sign at centre half. And as you said, we were all.
I think you and this Dave were the only two Bournemouth supporters last year.
Tell me about it, by the way. I think that, like you say, it was negative coming out of the space because you know Celtic, and you know we could have done more. And listen, I was still happy with the business that we'd done, but everybody always wants more, right? That's just the nature of transfer window. No team's ever perfect. But I just feel that in the middle of the park, we're dead light. And I think that's something that should have been picked up on. I said it on the space at the time. My biggest fear at this moment in time is if Callum McGregor goes out and picks up an injury for, I don't know, touch wood, right, it doesn't happen. But even a niggle when he's out for a couple of weeks, two or three games. Like, but I just fear what if something happened long term. We've no got the debt in that area of the park. And again, I just see the boy McCann leaving St Johnstone for a pittance, how it was worth, and you think, why have we not just stuck your money up for him? I fail to understand why. And again, it's you bring the boy Scales in, and I know he's been playing left wing back, left back for recently in recent weeks before he signed for Shamrock, but you think again he's out saying he's a centre off, and you're like, are we really that short on left back again? It's I just feel there's gaps there, and hopefully injuries don't fuck us over again. They have done in the past at certain stages, but hopefully the squad makes it through and then we have a strong January, because that's what it's going to take. It's no, as I said earlier, it's not a sort of one window fix everything. It's going to be a gradual building process, and I think that if we get the squad in a good place, what we've got performs well, we keep putting up points, we keep winning games, and we get to January and we can look to come out of that window stronger than we went in, then I would be really excited, because if we go into it we just a bit of foresight, a bit of planning. I mean, that's what they should be doing now. But overall, a good window. I was 3 out of 10. I'd be about the 7 ballpark, if I was being honest. Maybe 7.5, but I think that's about the limit of what I would get.
Aye, I think it was, for all, a good window. I think it's easier to say, from what we're watching, that Celtic are a better team than they were 12 months ago. But I think a lot of that's just generally done to the manager, and he deserves great credit for it, obviously. We've had a few setbacks already, but I think we're still quite stretched. I know getting these bodies in will help in that aspect. And I guess it's just a sort of a hoping that, like says, Giakoumakis and Jota and Scales and Cameron Rickles, like, do come in and sort of establish themselves and have a sort of, like, the sort of impact that guys like Abada and Kyogo have had. It will be interesting to see how our January is. That I think, especially with a new manager in place, that he's going to want to use every window for the first few to really build his squad. But Danny, just, we spoke to you about the incomings, just on the two that left, Ryan Christie and Edward. I sort of feel like the two of them were great servants for Celtic, and they gave us a lot of great memories. But I think with the two gone, you're really going to see Ange building his own team and creating their own legend. No legends, that's a too strong word, but their own legacies at Celtic. Because I feel like you obviously still get guys like Callum McGregor and James Forrest there, but from a few years ago when we were quadruple treble and whatever else, the squad sort of unrecognisable from that now, and it really gives Ange a chance to, as I say, just create his own successes.
Ah, you're right. We're taking it at face value, you know, that the players that are there want to be there. Christie started the season really well. I'm quite... It's two big losses. Let's not beat around the bush. It's two players that when they are at top form, they walk into your team and they walk into any other team in the league. They walk into most teams in England and all when they're at top form, but we just didn't really get that from either of them. Christie, as I said, started the season well. It was quite disappointing to see him go for a couple of million, but he must have pushed it through. I mean, he's went to Bournemouth, you know what I mean? It's not as if he's eyed up and say he went to Crystal Palace or a Burnley, or I know Burnley were interested, but he's went there, or, you know, at an Norwich or something, and said, oh, do you know what, I'm going to try a Premiership. He's actually went to Bournemouth in the Championship and came out and said he supports him. So, I mean, whether that's true or not, whatever, but it would show that he did actively want to leave Celtic, that if he's leaving Celtic in the Europa League to go to play for Bournemouth, because he's never going to play in the Europa League for Bournemouth, I don't think. I mean, came back to men for a year or something when they're there. But so that would show you, just judging it at face value, you know, knowing anything else, that would show you that he actually did actively try and leave Celtic. So it's not as if Celtic have pushed him at the door for $2.5 million, which means Celtic have done well to get $2.5 million for somebody that's out of contract in about 8 weeks. Edward, great servant for Celtic, really, you know, he was there for four seasons. I mean, just brilliant, just a great player. For, you know, he took time, he scored in his debut and then took a wee while to settle in, but phenomenal for 2.5 years at Celtic, just unbelievable. Even, and if you want to use Neil Lennon's air quotes, his worst season at Celtic, he was the top goal scorer, he scored over 20 goals. And just, I mean, I think, I might be controversial here, but I think out of the, if you count Neil Lennon's, if you want to count them, 5 trophies since he came back as interim manager, I'd say Edward dragged Celtic to all 5 of them, really. If it wasn't for Edward when Rodgers left, fuck knows what would have happened that season. I still maintain if Rodgers left a couple of weeks before, 8 in a row's in real jeopardy, but Edward scored a couple of late goals. Obviously, Lennon's first game at Hearts, and then at Dundee, and then after Christmas in the 2020 season, until from the winter break until COVID, Edward was just on another planet for anything that we'd... Is he a better player than Bailey? I don't think so, but that stretch of FIPA from the winter break coming back to COVID, Edward was untouchable. There's very few Celtic players that have had a period of play like that. So to lose that, he should have left last summer. He should have left after that. But obviously he didn't. He stayed. Didn't have a great season. Even the goals don't mask the fact he didn't have a great season, but still produced 20-odd goals for us still. He was probably among our top three or four players last year. But so he's a big loss. It's time for him to go, though. And I'm glad he's away. I'm not one of the racist Celtic dads. It's glad all the French players are away. But I'm glad Edward's away, because he would have... He obviously didn't want to stay. He would have left for nothing. And we were just weren't getting anything out of him. And a big part of the fact that we lost the day before he left was the first 15, 20 minutes of that second half. He just gave us nothing up front. And he'd switched half. So they're big losses to any squad. But both of them have left at the right time. And I think we replaced... I think Kyogo was Edward's replacement anyway. I think he was meant to be the main man this season. So they obviously losing two players that weekend's any squad, but we've tried to mitigate it by bringing a guy in weeks before. And I was looking forward to Edward and Kyogo linking up, but do you know, I never really seen much yet when the two of them did play together. Even though Kyogo put one in a plate for him the day before he left. But the squad, two good players that have left, and Edward's got to leave hers a fond memories. I mean, that the treble final, his two goals there, when it was looking a bit dodgy for a while. And then, you know, the couple of goals that Ibrox had scored, his first one, especially for me on a personal level, was a massive one. A couple of nice goals in Europe. Even last year, he scored a couple of belters. But that period of play between January 2020 and COVID, I mean, it was only about eight or nine weeks, but he was just, everything he touched ended up in the back of the net. And actually, it was just funny. I'd been watching the goals for that kind of time, and he's won at Copenhagen. I think he'd missed a great chance at the start of that game, but he just lifts the ball with his left foot, or the keeper, nor the defender, and into the goal. And as I say, I don't think he'll be fondly remembered more fondly than like Dembele or that, but that, honestly, that period of play was just a Sinclair in his first season, maybe, but I can't remember a Celtic player. And maybe Nakamura went through a sustained period of that, but Everton Edward was touching, was going in, and you're going to miss that. It's just, you can't, it's irreplaceable, you know what I mean? But now, as I say, it looks like I've just got everybody that's there wants to be there, and that's a positive. So you just need to see what Ange can do in the next 4 months until January. But they go with, both of them go with my best wishes. I hope they do well, but I will only be tuning in to slag them if they get beat or praise them if they win. I mean, Edward will light up some games at Paris, but we'll see what he's made out in the Premier League.
Tony, you've just joined us. I know you've not got much time, but we'll speak to you while we're here. Just get your thoughts on how Celtic's final few days of the transfer window went. Obviously, we signed Jota, Giakoumakis, Cameron Carter-Vickers, but we also lost like to Ryan Christie and Odson Edward. How do you see Celtic's transfer window?
You know, overall I thought we'd done okay, but we're lacking majorly in midfield. I think Edward and Christie, I was a big advocate of trying to get them to sign the new deals. They obviously didn't want to. I heard Edward's at 70 grand a week, so can't really argue with that. Christie, I've kind of debated myself, but I suppose there's not going to be any hassle for him in Bournemouth. The expectation's quite low. He'll be making good money. So I don't really care either way. I'm not one of these people that's going to be tuning in to every match, or I'm devastated they've left, or be wanting them to fail, or overly supporting them. I think Edward at one point really was a joy to watch. I heard just the end of Danny speaking there, and I don't know if you were talking about when he chipped the keeper at Aberdeen. I don't know if that's the goal you're talking about, but that was one of the best goals I'd seen in terms of just how cool and collected it is. So, it's one of the things. Players move on, but we're still here, ready to support whoever's coming in. Excited to see Jota and the new Greek signing. And it was good to get the centre-half in at the last minute. So, it's a completely new-look Celtic for kind of top to bottom. Hopefully, a director of football's the next person that's going to be coming in. I'm looking forward to the Ross County game. It'll be good to get back to Parkhead. And I think we need to try and get to January, still being in touch with Rangers. We need more improvements. And if Ange's planning to go back to the Japanese market, I'd be all for that. Is there any update on Kyogo, how he is, and if he'll be fit for Saturday?
No, nothing's been said yet, so I think Ange speaks tomorrow, didn't he? So probably find out something then.
Have you covered any of the recent madness on Twitter, or has that been covered? Well, no, I just didn't know if it'd been covered.
No, we only spoke about transfer
window. The insane Daily Record article, which has caused a barrage of gibberish. It was just to basically say to people, if you're on Twitter, that you should use tweet delete and make sure you're quite careful, because this mad grassing culture that's taken over has been a real worry. People trying to get other people to lose their jobs. I think it's absolutely baffling. I can
some segue if he does losing Edward and Christie meeting the squad. It does, but you better use tweet delete and no speak ever.
Yeah, you know, this is more important to people's livelihoods than fucking Edward and Christie. No, it was just to say, I mean, I can understand why people have retaliated against journalists, but I think this culture of sticking people into their work for words they said 10 years ago is absolutely baffling, and I hope it comes to an end very quickly. But no, I just didn't know if it'd been touched on, but I will be in our best behaviour on Twitter from now on. You won't see us saying any naughty words or slagging any former players. So the transfer window...
Have former managers?
Well, former managers, can't promise that. But no, the transfer window, we had a lot of work to do. I can only give credit to the manager. He's got quite a few right good talents in that I enjoy watching. The board, I thought, were let them down at stages. They were really slow to act, hence the Midland game, but that's by the by. Aye, so we're getting into a really exciting period. We're going to be playing a lot of football, a lot of league games, cups coming up, Europa League to look forward to as well. The Albetas next week, and fans are allowed at it, which is great. I'll be going to Budapest, I'm looking forward to that. And then away fans are getting back into Livy, so it seems as though everything's in the right path, which is excellent. Aye, I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, the Rangers defeat wasn't the one that really dented my confidence of how good the manager can be or anything like that. I thought we were quite unlucky in the day, and then we ran out of steam a bit and just got a wee bit silly and clumsy in front of goal. So I think that's me for now, just a flying one, but enjoy the rest of the call, and I'll go for a
prediction.
I'll take 6-0, and I'll go for, I don't know, loads of cunts to score. Right, see you later on, bye.
Tony's obviously a wee bit lost that he can't go for an Edward hat trick. Forgot he played for Celtic.
Nah, he comes in here like a fucking tornado, man, wrecks the place, and now we're all over the place. But Danny, I'll come back to you. As Tony mentioned, Ross County game next up. Celtic are currently 6 in the table, 4 points behind league leaders, also 4 points behind Hearts. Obviously, they two meet on Sunday. It's a chance to gain ground on one of them, hopefully. But as Tony said, it's a start of a busy period for Celtic. How important is it for Angie's team to get back to winning ways on Saturday? I know the only sort of disappointment from the international Celts was potentially Kyogo being injured, but apart from that, I think they all come through unscathed, so should be relatively full strength for Saturday.
Aye, it's massively important to get winning again, because you don't plan to lose. I mean, I know you said we're 6 there, don't really pay attention to the league table until around about November, December, when you get into the winter months, and I think there's a couple of midweek cards in there as well, so not really interested in that. I know the league's still taking shape, but aye, you want to win every game, don't you? So Saturday, it'll be a tough game. Ross County, Malky Mackay, it's never really, it's weird. We either take 4 or 5 after them, or we struggle and get beat, but it'll be a tough game, I'd imagine. But we seem to have said about these teams at home, and I'm hoping Saturday will be any different. I think it might be a wee bit slower with the international break and players coming back for long flights. I don't think we might be as quick out of traps as we have been in the last couple of home games, but hopefully we are, and it's just a continuation of what we've seen 3-4 weeks ago. And as you see, a lot of the players come back unscathed. I mean, people going on about Kyogo, I think he's limped off every time he's been subbed. I think he's limped off every game, and he's played the next, so he'll be up for it. I heard from a guy, I don't know who to it is, but a guy I was talking to at the Alkmaar game told me that what he'd heard from Australians was that if you're no fit, you don't play under Ange. There's no, like, oh, I'm only 80%, I'll play 60 minutes. You don't, none of that with Ange. You only play if you're 100%. So if Kyogo's in the team, then you'll be judging that he's fully fit. So, but with a wee eye on Thursday night as well, of course, you know what I mean? That's a big game, one I'm looking forward to. So, but the best thing about the international break is touch wood, this is Thursday night at 6:30. We don't seem to have any COVID issues or, you know what I mean? Because that's worse than an injury, you know what I mean? These days you're out for 2 weeks. So, touch wood, we've not had any of them so far, and that will continue to be the case. But look, really looking forward to Saturday. I hate when we play Rangers in the last game before an international break, because even if you win, it's 2 weeks before you play again. And obviously, it's better to win than lose them like we did, but if you beat them, it's not as if you celebrate for 2 weeks, you celebrate for a few days and then go on, mate, you look to the next game. But if you lose, it's a long, long 2 weeks, and, you know, get fuck about Scotland going and winning and all that. You know, you buy Celtic to win again, so eager to get back to club football and Celtic setting about someday again, hopefully.
Andy, you recharge the batteries, ready to get into another grueling fixture list for Celtic, and what are you thinking for Saturday? On paper, it looks like relatively the type of game that you'd like to have after such a wee break and coming back from that defeat at Ibrox. As Danny said, these sort of bottom six type teams, Celtic have dealt with relatively, well, not relatively, completely comfortable so far this season. What are you thinking for Saturday?
Aye, I think hopefully. Obviously, there's been a few boys who haven't been away in international duty, and it's more time for Ange to work with him and obviously get about his methods. And hopefully, he's seen a couple of things that's impressed him, and there's boys there who are wanting to impress during that break. And again, it's since football can be a grueling game at times, especially when you're a selector and you play 100 games a season and you're away from your international club. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was maybe a wee bit leggy or it just had the feeling of a bit of a jet lag performance or anything like that. It wouldn't immensely surprise me, but it wouldn't worry me too much either. I think that it's... We've battered teams like us at home. We really have. I think there's been... There was just 6-0 against St Mirren, 6-0 against Dundee, so you could only assume that Ross County are sort of in danger, or they would think they're in danger of becoming another one of them. I would hope that's what happens, but I'm not going to be massively alarmed if it's a bit of a leggy performance. But I think that hopefully there's going to be a couple of new boys in and about. I don't know, in terms of the three that came in deadline, I don't know how fit any of them are. I don't know if they can start or come off the bench, but hopefully they feature in some way. Same with Kyogo. If it was going to be a risk, then I probably wouldn't want him to see him start either, because I think that it's just the type of game that we should be able to manage with them. And I think him being back fully fit is probably what's most important in a game like that. So, for me, Dan, it's just get in, get the 3 points and get out in that game, and I hope that's what happens. Obviously, we'll come on to predictions, but I reckon it'll be comfortable with a 2 or 3 goal lead.
Aye, I'm pretty sure it'll be quite comfortable as well. I don't really rate Malcolm McKay much. I think, as I said, like Dundee and St Mirren, we've managed with minimal fuss, and like I know a lot of players have been away on international duty, but Angel have had a lot of time on the training ground with the ones, haven't he? And it'll be like, I think it was Tony that mentioned earlier, I'm really looking forward to seeing a guy like Jota come in, because I know anybody can look good in a YouTube compilation, but he just does look like a really exciting player. Also, you've got the potential of playing a new striker, and lest we forget, he's the new Celtic number 7, and I know that doesn't mean much for some, considering you've had guys like Miku and Nadir Chirchi and the likes, but it's still a massive thing for Celtic fans, and rightly so hopefully he can live up to that sort of expectation. It would be good, like, you don't want all the pressure to fall on Kyogo, and like as we've seen, you're sort of having like, a bit of a worry if he is it, just because how good he's been, but also because I don't think many people are really banking on Albin Ayeti contributing many goals this season, although you never know, it could be like a guy like Edward Gone, it potentially could be the making of a guy like Ayeti to step up, and if there is more opportunities, this might be the game for him. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I think Celtic will just have too much. I think the way Ange's team play just sort of tires their opponents out, and I wouldn't be surprised to see us rack up a good scoreline again. But what I'm really looking forward to, hopefully the weather keeps good, because I know we very quickly coming into these winter months, Celtic Park, where it's quite bitter, so hopefully we get a wee bit more sunshine on Saturday. But I think I'll go first in my prediction after Tony over Red Hair Tiz. I think Celtic will win 5-0, and I think David Turnbull will open the scoring. That's my prediction. Danny, you go for yours.
I think it'll be 4, be 2 up at half time and then score. And I kind of rubbished the guy, or no, rubbished him on the space. I explained my very irrational mindset on how I don't think he'll be a success, so I'm going to predict a Yakubakis hat trick these days.
And Andy, what are you going for?
I like how Danny's just trying to cover all bases there, where they can claim I told you it'd be good, or I can claim I told you it'd be shite. These predictions, I respect that.
Well, somebody's got to cover the bases.
I'm going to go 3-0, I think. I think we'll see a bad back in the score sheet. McGregor, that's a boy I've been predicting to get a number of goals this season and break double figures again. So I'll go with Abada, McGregor, and if Ayeti starts up front, I think he scores. I'm going to go, that's my 3. If he doesn't start up front, then fuck knows. Whoever's up front, they'll get the other one. But I'm the same as you, Dan. It'd be good to just get back to the parkie again, get back to the football, see how it can get knuckled down, get the points in the bag. Like I say, we've got a lot of big games coming up, a lot of important games, and hopefully we can put some good performances together.
Aye, definitely. We will be back before the Albetis game, probably Sunday or Monday, depending on my record, but we'll get you deeper preview of that. But before we go, of course, we'd also like to thank Manscaped for continuing to sponsor the podcast. It's the industry leader in below the waist grooming, and everybody that's using your code, it's been very much appreciated by yourself and Manscaped, and it's helped us at the pod greatly. So yeah, remember and go to manscaped.com and use the code TRIM4TIMS, that's TRIM the number 4 and then TIMS, to get 20% off and free shipping when you place an order. Also just like to give a wee shout out to anybody that bought stuff from our Big Cartel store, which was 4thims.bigcartel.com. We opened that a few weeks ago and quite a few of you bought some mugs and t-shirts, so aye, thanks very much to everybody that done that. That's also appreciated. And a final thanks to everybody that subscribed to our YouTube channel. That's growing ever closer to that magical 1k mark in terms of subscribers. So if you've not yet, then please go to YouTube and search for 4thims, a podcast. You'll see us and you'll be able to get our video content over there. So aye, unless anybody else is getting to, I'd just like to say thanks very much for listening, and we will speak to you when we speak to you.
Shave your balls and keep the pod free forever.
Unless we get cancelled.
Pleasure.